All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Appreciate the calls in to the Bud Light Hotline. Text line coming in as well. We got folks texting in, Damian. 205-834-9450 if you want to text into the show.
Yeah. We've got some people. We have Jake who texts in and says, line up police with German Shepherds along the student section. Have police with dogs sparingly across the rest of the stadium. Put up signs that warn not to storm the field. I'm not running past police dogs, that's for sure.
Ask Gerard Powers how that went.
Well, that's...
He got the hand
well,
bit.
Well, Little Ugga was told not to like anybody.
That was not Ugga. That was a German Shepherd. Oh, that was different. That's Robert Baker you're thinking of.
Oh, okay.
That Ugga cool. tried to go at. Yeah. Was at that game. You can also tweet in at Mac and Cube. That Twitter feed brought to you by friends at Royal Automotive. Listen, if you're shopping around for a new ride, it's time you paid a visit to my friends at Royal Buick GMC. For an extremely limited time, you can get rates as low as 0.9% APR. You heard that right, 0.9%. Royal Buick GMC got what you want on one lot. If you need heavy hauling truck for your summer toys, you got to check out their huge selection of trucks featuring Sierra, Sierra HD, Denali, and AT4 models. Big plans with the kids, need more space? Yukon, Yukon AT4, Yukon Denali. All right there, close to home at the corner of I-65 and Highway 31 of Vestavia. These special rates, as low as 0.9%, not going to be around long. Move fast to Royal Buick GMC or shop online at royalbuickgmc.net. Rates only valid on certain models to approve credit through GM Financial. Certain restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Remember, for every ride, there's Royal. For every Thursday, the coach, Wimp Sanderson, is with us. Thanks to our friends at Coke and Piggly Wiggly. Coach, if we put you in charge, how would you stop or prevent field or court storming by fans?
You can't. You can't stop it. You put me in charge, I'd try to do the best I could what they're doing now, but money is no factor. You can't stop it.
Yeah, they don't care. Those kids don't care about the money. So how do you punish?
Take away their TikToks.
That would slow them down. How do you punish the schools? Do you keep going further and further? Take away home game?
No, I don't think you fool with the schedule. Schedule's too important. I'm fixing to talk about that in just a minute. I don't know. I think you leave it alone and let the rough end drag. Get as many security people there as you can. Do as best job you can and let the rough end drag. I want to correct something that I said to you guys last week when I was trying to play that stupid golf game with Coach Saban's deal. And you asked me about scheduling. And I don't know if you're referring what you're referring to, but let me make one thing clear. I don't like games. If I were at Georgia, I don't like playing Florida. I don't like the game of Florida. I play my games at home if I were Georgia. Now, I don't know if you asked me the question, Cole, and I don't know if you're referring to that game or not. I was thinking about basketball rather than football. But if I'm Georgia, there are two things that make you successful in coaching. One is recruiting, and the second one is scheduling, and the third, to some degree, is handling people, handling your players. Both those things make you successful. To take away the opportunity to have prospects at your games on your home field is not good. Now, I don't know were you referring to that when you asked me that? Do you remember?
I think that was the genesis of the conversation, but I was just referencing if you appreciated or liked neutral site games, because I also know Alabama basketball has had a lot of success with neutral site games
recently. At all, but if you're referring to, and I couldn't really hear real good, I was trying to figure out what the crap I was doing in golf. I just think the Georgia games, there's Georgia stupid to do that. They've got too much going. They've had too much going over the years. You don't have to do that. Play the games, in my opinion, home and home. And both of you guys may totally disagree, and that's fine. That's what this show is all about. But I wouldn't do it that way. And I don't know if I left that impression with you or not.
But no, you were fine. I think we were good with where we went with that. So it's going to be, you know, obviously it's been a big point of discussion. They renewed it, so they'll have it in Jacksonville the next 2 years, and then we'll see after that what they do.
I think we're going to go to an 8-game schedule for the first year, and then I think we'll go to 9. I think Nick Saban is in favor of 8.
Well, I think Nick Saban, because of the, I guess, some of the already arranged Nick Saban's in favor of all Power Five. He's already said that. But they already have agreements in place with Ohio State and West Virginia. And if they go to 9, now you're playing 11, and you have to untangle. You said yesterday we got to untangle some of those contracts, which will cost us money if we untangle those things. So I think that's his concern.
I also think that he would be more comfortable looking at the schedule based as it is with Tennessee and Auburn okay. Maybe not because of being scared of them, but of the fact that maybe LSU would not be the one that he would pick. And I'm not going to get into who because I know nothing. I listen to what they say, and I was around them a lot playing golf down at Gulf Shores. But I don't think he likes that three-game slot, particularly. Tennessee's a much better team than they used to be. Auburn's going to be better. And I don't know that, when you try to figure it out exactly what you – I think they'll go to 8 for 1 year. Most people tell me they'll have to do it for 2 and then go to the 9. But what do I know? I know nothing.
Based on what you've heard from different ADs and different reasonings to go one way or the other, what do you feel is best for the league moving forward?
I don't know. I think ESPN money is being involved, and they're expecting ESPN to raise that money if they go to 9. ESPN is laying off people by the truckloads. I can't remember names, as you know very well, but the guy I saw yesterday where they're giving $19 million to be on game day, played football. What's his name? With a stuff around his neck and crazy hat on.
Pat McAfee.
Give me turn that cotton picking thing off and throw it in the river. I'm not listening to that crap.
He's not trying to go after you, Coach. You're not exactly his demographic appeal. Well, he's going after like the 20 somethings.
I know that. I understand that. I still don't think it's good. It's just me. I mean, that's just you're a different age level than I am, smarter than I am. But I it's just me. I don't like it. You like it?
I do not watch a lot of daytime television, Coach. If I'm going to be completely honest, unless I'm participating in it, I don't really often subscribe to some of the things that are on any platform. I might add during the day, and that includes everything from Hoda's show to Kelly Clarkson's show to.
You're busy doing those days. You're doing your own thing. You do a good job. I'm not here to make particular controversy. I just think my point is that they're wanting to get more money for 9 games, and they should, because you're going to have a better schedule. And ESPN is sitting there laying off people because of money that they hired one yesterday up. And I don't know that you can lay off people and then raise the money for 9 games versus 8.
Well, I think you can. I just don't know what does that last game cost? I mean, you get 14, well, 16 technically, 8 additional games, right? You get 8 additional games. So what are those games worth? And I think that's the challenge, because ESPN is wanting to say, well, hey, we'll give you more money, but we're not going to give you the prorated amount for what we pay for all the other games. I don't know how many SEC games. What's 8 times? Or what's 9 times 16? That's what? 90.
You're the Rhodes Scholar.
144. Yeah, 144. Yeah. So 144 games, you're going to get 8 more. So how much more is it worth it? If you're paying $300 million a year for 144 games, well, does that mean that you now have to pay for 16 million more prorated for the other 8 games? Yeah. That to me feels pretty aggressive. And again, the Big Ten's doing it, and they're making more money. So,
if I told you what I thought, then both of you would look at each other and say, get him off the air as quick as you can.
Well, what do you think? I'm curious your opinion.
I'll go another direction with you. It doesn't excite me at all to see Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. Now both of you are going to turn the radio off and get on me. It just doesn't. I, of course, now when I first came here, Georgia Tech and Tulane were in the SEC.
Why does it not excite you, Coach? Just out of curiosity.
I don't know. I just don't. You know, I think the schedule is such that, you know, everybody thinks that they're going to be, it's going to be really workable. I don't know that it is. I just like. It doesn't excite me to see the Big Ten and the SEC dominate things to the point that East and West are those two places that football goes down, not up, because people get disgust packed in on one side of the country and the struggling ACC on the other side of the country. To me, for you two guys who are very good and I know that the Big Ten and the SEC. You know, or that's it, and there's nothing, not anything else left. I just think for college football overall, that's not the right answer. I know you asked me one day who I would put into the SEC, and I named off the four, and your answer to me was, Coach, why didn't you mention Virginia and Virginia Tech? I just didn't because I didn't even want, you know, I would make 20 in the SEC. And I don't particularly like that. That's just me, though. I'm 100 years old. So, whatever.
Well, I don't think you're wrong. I think, hey, what excites you is different than what excites other people. Yeah. And that's okay for everyone to disagree. Sure. I know that contrary to what our politicians want us to believe, it's okay for people to disagree. What I would say, though, is in the event of watching, let me ask you this. Does Alabama Mercer excite you? Does Ball State, Georgia excite you?
Yeah.
Does Middle Tennessee, Bama excite you? Like, no. But what might excite you is Mississippi State, Bama, or Tennessee, Bama, or Georgia, Auburn.
It might excite me if I were trying to get into a bowl and I was at Vanderbilt and it gave me three wins.
Yeah, fair. I can understand that. But bowl games are becoming more and more meaningless in the end-all, be-all. I'm not saying they are financially. I just think in the 12-team playoff model, they're already watered down. Now the seventh-best SEC team might be going to the Citrus Bowl. It used to be the second or third-best SEC team. So that's changed a lot. And bowl games, if that's the ultimate goal, to get to the bowl, then I think that that's a short-sighted approach to where the game is going. The regular season is what matters most, and strengthening it to the best of our ability, to me, should be the highest priority.
Yeah. Well, you'll get people called in and say, get that guy off the air. But I think the NIL is going to eventually separate teams in the leagues. I think there are teams in the leagues, and coaches said that, and I thought Coach did an excellent job. If you stand outside, if you go to those meetings, I went to them for years, they stand outside with a pencil. If you say boo, they write it down, the writers do, and they start in on you regardless of what you say. But I thought Coach did a good job of talking about things prior to the SEC meeting, but I need to win three games at Vanderbilt and maybe a couple of other schools in order to be able to get into a bowl to keep my program halfway decent. Now I know I'm sticking out one team there, but and I would agree you're totally right as far as the interest and concern is. There's a concern there because it's not as good a game as you're having when you play nine. So
well, it sounds like a lot of their reasoning for doing it, though, Coach, is to have not the bowl aspect of it, but to have more of a conversation with teams at the top that might be vying for the college football playoff so that a 10-2 SEC team that went 7-1 in the conference that missed the conference championship game, they will have as good a chance to get in as a 10-2 Big Ten team that went 8-1 in the conference. They think that the league will be able to stand on its own because of what it's done in the past. And I don't know for sure if that's going to continue. If everyone else is playing 9 and you're playing 8, I can see down the line that beginning to get held against you. And when you go back to the table to negotiate your next rights deal, it's really going to cost you, I believe.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Hey, Coach, I wanted to just ask you quickly your thoughts. Mark Sears announced he's coming back for the Crimson Tide. Yeah. Javon Quinterly has announced he will remove his name from the NBA draft and come back to school as well. Just what that does for Nate Oates' group next year.
Oh, the guard strength. I think they're fixing, in my opinion, to hire another coach. And in my opinion, I think that other coach is going to bring some players. And I think he will bring some inside players. That's my opinion. Nobody's told me that. I just think it. you got you better.
Right.
There's a couple of guys that are out now that yesterday was the last day that have a chance to be recruited. There's a real big kid, 6'7", 6'8", kid that's a really, really good player that I forget where he's from now, but he's narrowed it down to Alabama, Texas Tech, Texas, and Kentucky. I just talked to Kentucky. I just talked to Kentucky people on my show, and they only have 8 players total. I think if Alabama were to get this kid, they'd be. I think they're fine. They've got really good athletes, and not going to be the kind of rebounding team that they need to be right now. I think by the time this third coach is hired, that things will be good for them. And the Broom kid coming back for Auburn certainly helped them a great deal. So basketball will be good, I think, for both schools.
Yeah, Auburn gets Jalen Williams, Dylan Cardwell, and Jani Broom. Yeah. So you get some veterans. I think Broom's your biggest impact player there. But passing on the NBA, were you surprised that he decided to do that?
No, I don't think he'll ever be an NBA player. I think he'll be a good player overseas, but I don't think he'll be an NBA player.
Right.
I just don't. I mean, he doesn't jump well enough. He's not athletic enough. He's certainly important for Auburn. And it's going to make them a lot better, and they're going to be good. They got a small guard; it's very good. So, I would say that.
But it feels like Coach last year, there was a bigger emphasis on having veterans, like a veteran presence, not just the number one overall draft pick. It's just if you could have, role players, veterans like that. It seemed to be a little bit more important in last year's college basketball.
Yeah, I think veterans are important now. Kentucky needs veterans bad.
Kentucky needs some players, Coach. Honestly, they need guys on the roster.
They lost 8 players. 88. Vanderbilt lost everybody but the manager. You've got to get some of those guys back and have some veterans. And they may not be starters, but they are contributors, and they're people that make your practices better and make you better when it gets down to nut cutting time. So I think it's the transfer portal would be a lot better off, and neither one of you will agree to this. If we could go back to, there would not be as much confusion if we would go back to sitting out of 1 year regardless. But it cleared a lot of things out. The money situation would be cleared out more if you made them lay out a year if they went.
That's what Coach Freeze said down in Destin earlier this week.
Oh, he did?
He said, unless you graduate or if your coach leaves, then that would give you the green light to be able to go somewhere else. So we'll
see.
That's
my opinion. Of course, my opinions are somebody.
We love your opinion, Coach. That's why we have you on every week. So, and when we have you on every week, you're brought to us by our friends at Coke and Piggly Wiggly.
Well, Coke and Piggly Wiggly are, in my opinion, not everybody's opinion, but I think most people's opinion, absolutely terrific. Coke's been here for a long time, longer than myself, and I've been here a while. And Piggly Wiggly are great people. They do everything they can to make it a pleasant shopping area for you and the products that you need. Appreciate you guys having me on, and look forward to talking to you every day, every week.
Thanks, Coach. Talk to you next week.
I got my Georgia-Florida thing straightened out.
No, it's all good. We had a lot of people texting about it. So
okay.
You're good. Wimp Sanderson joins us each and every week on the Bud Light Hotline. Thanks for our friends at Coke and Piggly Wiggly. Just quickly, G-Max, I saw this from Kyle Tucker yesterday. Oscar Tshiebwe announced that he's going to stay in the draft. Most people just assumed that was going to happen, but I guess there was some back and forth. He said, this is definitely the expectation in Lexington. With Oscar, there's always a chance of divine intervention. But did not happen. He followed that up with June 1st, hours away. Obviously, we're there now. Kentucky appears to be losing a total of 9 players from last season, has just 5 freshmen and 2 sophomores committed to the roster, and in the last 2 off seasons to this point, has landed exactly 1 player from the portal, and that would be from Illinois State. Now, I believe they added a big man from Creighton late yesterday, so that would have been a little bit after Kyle tweeted that. But, not going exactly the direction I think that a lot of Kentucky fans sort of thought that it was going to go.
I guess I just don't understand. Why is Oscar Tshiebwe trying to go to the NBA? He's ranked 75th in ESPN's NBA draft rankings. That's undrafted.
I don't...
I mean, I'm not saying that he won't make. I mean, there have been plenty of guys that are undrafted second-round picks. Nikola Jokic was a second-round pick. I mean, there's plenty of examples of guys that ultimately become very successful that were drafted and underdrafted. But how many 6'9 centers are there right now without a perimeter game? I honestly not sure I can think of one. Not in the modern NBA. No. And if you're making millions at Kentucky, what are we doing?
I think it's complicated with him. Obviously, from his work status, as far as how some of that is allowed to go, I don't know. I don't know all of it. It's complicated. Maybe something we need to get Matt Jones on to have a little bit further discussion about. But just the Kentucky basketball roster, really interesting, especially compared to some of the other rosters in the SEC. Like Quinterly and Sears coming back. Like, what do we say every year at the tournament? Guard play wins tournament games. You got some veteran guards that have played big in some big games now coming back. You get Jalen Williams, Dylan Cardwell back in Auburn. Those are a couple hard hat guys. Couple of high effort, high energy guys that can do some different things for you. And then Jani Broome comes back, who's extremely crafty as a big man around the rim. That's a lot to work with there if you're Bruce Pearl. So Kentucky doesn't have similar things back on their roster as a lot of other SEC basketball teams seem to have returning. We're going to talk to Tony David, the Stanford head baseball coach, on the other side, get his thoughts on heading down to Auburn and getting going in the NCAA tournament. I want to let you know about Andrew Sports Medicine, though. Dedicated to helping our community stay healthy while aggressively pursuing victory over injury with 7 Alabama locations. Call Andrew Sports Medicine 24-7 at 205-939-3699 or visit andrewssportsmedicine.com. We'll talk some Stanford baseball, NCAA regionals next on Mac and Cube in the morning.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Had a birthday party in the backyard for my son last night. No mosquitoes, no issues, no bug bites. Why? Wayne's. That smart pest technology keeps the bugs out of the house. 10-foot perimeter around the home. Mosquito Plus takes care of not just the mosquitoes, but the fleas and the ticks. And we told you yesterday, we want to avoid the ticks right now more than ever. Get that problem taken care of before it gets out of hand at Wayne's. Also, my yard is going to be barefoot good, weed-free all summer thanks to that Environalon technology. Mosquito Plus, Environalon, Smart Pest, and Termite Protection, all from Wayne's GMAC. Why would you call anyone else?
Well, you would not just rely on Wayne's. Multiple people this weekend have asked about, man, how do you get the mosquitoes away from the lakeside? Man, they got it in Alex City. They got it at Smith Lake. They got it every lake between here and Logan Martin. I mean, you name it. They're going to get you taken care of. Bugs are a problem. We know that. But they can get you taken care of. Of course, your home in Birmingham, your home throughout Central Alabama will be taken care of as well. I'd sign up right now, too, because you can get $50 off each service you sign up for. That's Environalon, Mosquito Plus, which is amazing and an absolute must. You also are going to have several other things that you can add, like the Smart Pest, Termite, you name it. $50 off each service, up to $200 in savings. So call them today, 866-WAYNES-1, or visit callwaynes.com/5450 and use the offer code JOCKS to take advantage of those savings and let Wayne's continue to create your happy place.
All right, Tony David, head coach of the Stanford Bulldogs baseball team, heading to that NCAA regional down in Auburn, joining us now on the Bud Light Hotline. We talked to Mark Etheridge a little bit earlier, Coach. I didn't know there was an NCAA rule that said you can't play three games in a day, and you guys had to get a waiver, obviously, because there was a championship that was on the line. Can you just take us back through that whole process? Did you even know that you could get a waiver to play a third game before your situation last weekend?
No, and guys, I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today. basically, kind of how it unfolded is, you know, early on in the week, they started moving things up out of the fear of the potential weather on the weekend. We were originally not supposed to play till Friday because we had the byes, and then they started moving games up. So our Friday early morning game became a Thursday afternoon game, and then the domino effect from there. So they thought all along that once the rain got there on Saturday, that they thought it may be there till Monday. It turns out I don't think that was the case, but that was the fear. And then that we lost just a tough, went on a super weird play Friday, and that hit the base. And then afterwards, the guy running the tournament, Jason, who does a great job, he came up to me and said, "Hey, you guys, we're going to move it up to 8 o'clock in the morning," which, of course, as a Central Time Zone team, it was 7 o'clock to our guys, you know. So I started quickly doing the math on what that meant. You know, how early do they have to wake up? How when are we going to have to get them here? And I really didn't focus on whatever else he said after that. And then in the hotel room that night, watching film and stuff, I started replaying in my mind, and I said, did he say at least 2 games? And then I called a few people, and Coach Steve Kitchell, who I played for at South Alabama as a mentor of mine, we were talking. He goes, "I don't think he can. I don't think he can." Everybody seemed to be in agreement on that. So I texted Jason and said, "We're just going to try to play 2 games tomorrow, right?" And then back and forth, he said, basically, it's in the bylaws for the conference tournament to be able to get in the championship round. If you have to play 3 games, you have to play 3 games in a day. My guess is the person that came up with that was probably thinking more along the lines of the last day. You've gotten to the last day of the tournament Sunday. We just got to finish it today, so you play 3 games in a day. So that's how we found out about it. And then obviously the only way we could play 3 games in a day is if we won the first 2. And fortunately for us, that's how it unfolded.
And it's been brought to our attention that, is it Caden Dreher that caught all 3 games?
He did. Caden Dreher, 5th-year senior for us. As good of a leader as you can have, and just really, really handles the staff. He is another coach for us and a coach on the field. And, yeah, he caught all 27 innings, and which would be difficult for anybody in any setting, but he's a guy that in his time here has really had some lower back issues and just some other just wear and tear thing for him. So we were really managing the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season for him, and was not catching 3 games in a weekend, usually, not even Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, to try to keep him healthy. And so late in that second game, I said, "How are we feeling?" And he said, "Does it matter?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I mean, it matters." We started talking about how we can manage it. He was worn down that third game and not feeling spectacular. And I told him I didn't care if he threw the ball to second when they were stealing. The wind was blowing in 20 miles an hour. We can really, really catch it. Hitting successfully is hard. But I just needed him to keep my young freshman, who had only thrown 8 innings all year, in the strike zone, and that was what mattered most. So yeah, he was an absolute warrior on the day.
He may have had some lower back issues early, but now he's got knee replacements coming, Coach. I mean, goodness, great. What did you guys do afterwards? Like, did you just bring an ice truck for him?
You know, he was the euphoria of the moment and the adrenaline that goes with that carried the day for a lot of people for a couple of hours, I think. But if we could have had a video camera watching the march to the bus the next morning, and honestly, several days in, you know, we were off Sunday. We did a really light practice Monday as expected, but, you know, my plan Tuesday was to go a little more of a quote-unquote regular kind of in-season practice with some base running and stuff, but our guys still were not physically ready for that. You know, they were still worn down, and, you know, yesterday we did more, but still not as much as you would have in the normal setting, you know. So, yeah, Caden certainly at the top of the list of the ones that needed to go kind of slowly back into things.
So when you look at the approach to the regional this weekend, you guys will tip it off against Southern Miss, Looking forward to the matchup. Not a team that you guys have played a whole lot. You did, however, play them back in 2016. Some of these kids were like five when that happened, but it's been a while. So is it an all-hands-on-deck approach to game one, knowing how difficult it is to come out of the loser's bracket, take care of business?
You know, for me, we just kind of treat it like the conference tournament. You know, our guy, Jacob Crazy, who's our number one and will go for us tomorrow, has been a guy that's been incredible for us, but also a guy that can go deep in the game. And for us, it's a matter of who can win that first game, or who it takes to win that first one, you know, for us. And again, Jacob has eaten it up, and we've kind of had a couple of guys that have been a part of our middle innings. If we need the bridge between those two and our closer on the back end, you know, it's different than if you're playing series baseball, right, where you're trying to win two out of three. In this case, you know, you kind of really need to win all three if you're going to win the tournament, and that's certainly what we're shooting for. So so it's a yes and no. You know, we won't go crazy on it in middle of the game, but all of a sudden bring in our Sunday starter, you know, or anything like that. You know, our guys will stay in their normal roles, and it's been something that's been really successful for us. And, you know, we've been really playing really, really good baseball for the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Tony David, Sanford head baseball coach, joining us down on the Bud Light Hotline, previewing their regional down in Auburn this weekend. Do you legitimately take this one game at a time? Do you have to look ahead just a little bit and try to schedule things out based on potential opponents down the road? Like how much emphasis is on just getting through this first game, and how much attention can you pay to other potential matchups that you may see?
On the day of, it's just about the game that day of for me. You know, who we play the second game, we may do different things with the pitching based on matchups. You know, try to, you know, obviously Auburn and Penn, what they do and how they do it are two different teams, and whoever our second game would be. So, you know, who we would match up with those guys would determine, again, what our pitcher strength is versus what they do, you know. But tomorrow in game one, it'll just be about winning that game, you know, and even, you know, in the ludicrous way we had to get through Saturday, you know, yeah, you're trying to win that game, but if you don't win that game, nothing else matters, you know, so you try to do it if you can, maybe steal a few outs or steal an inning and not use one of your frontline guys in the game that you're winning. And, you know, game two on Saturday, we were winning, we were up 6 in the ninth. And we had a guy who felt a little something in his forearm, his spine, but had some tightness. So we took him out. We were planning on him going the rest of the way. And what we did, we went ahead and brought in the kid that we were planning on starting the next game, you know, if we got there. But we had to get through that one. And we brought him in to get those last couple of outs, and it didn't go well. You know, he walked a couple of guys, hit a guy, and we had to get him out of there. We brought in our closer with the bases loaded, no out, for the 7-2 game, and he struck out all three guys. But we then switched our plan. We changed it. We decided to go with someone else to start that next game, which was the Heath Clevenger kid, because we felt like we knew he would throw strikes. So in that sense, you know, we need to win the game. So we brought in the guy we were planning on starting the next game. And then when it didn't do well, when it didn't go well for him, we adjusted that plan for the next one.
Well, Coach, we're proud of you and anxious to see how you guys do down in Auburn. Excited for you. Just so cool how you guys are able to even get to this spot. Second regular season conference title, fourth NCAA tournament appearance. And looking forward to having you back again soon. Best of luck this weekend.
Okay, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for having us on.
Yes, sir. That's Tony David, the head coach of the Sanford Bulldogs baseball team. They'll be heading down to Auburn 1 o'clock tomorrow. They take on Southern Miss, 13 seed in Auburn, and you can watch it on ESPN+. First round of that Auburn regional. It's going to be pretty cool to see exactly how that thing goes down. If you need to see a little bit more clearly, Michelson Laser Vision can help you with that. 205-969-8100. I called over 20 years ago, set up an appointment with Dr. Mark Michelson, had the consultation, found out I was a candidate for the LASIK procedure, had it done. Quick, easy, pain-free. I was back at work in a day. And thankfully, no more glasses, no more contacts, cases, or solution. Done with those forever. My dependence on those was finished. You can get free screening and consultation with no obligation now from Michelson Laser Vision. Dr. Mark, Dr. Jennifer Michelson, located right there at UAB Highlands. They offer comfortable and convenient care for you. They're rooted in our community. been here in Birmingham for a long time. Dr. Mark Michelson, national pioneer in the field, forefront of corrective laser surgery. His research contributed to the FDA approval of the LASIK procedure. So call today, 205-969-8100, set up that free consultation, or visit michelsonlaservision.com for more information. When we come back, bad box scores of the day. Next on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 9:45 a.m. Thursday, June 1st, right here on Jocks 94.5. If you missed Nick Kelly, Tony David, Wimp Sanderson, you can go catch those interviews on the podcast at jocksfm.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get yours, Mark Etheridge of d1baseball.com as well. All of those will be podcasted there if you need to catch up.
First line of protection for your home is your roof. That's why you got to take great care of it. And thanks to our friends at Yellowhammer Roofing, they'll get you taken care of, whether it's a roof replacement or repair. It's the locally owned and operated team that is all licensed and insured. Plus, for additional peace of mind as a homeowner, I'm going to get that 5-year workmanship warranty where they own your roof for the first 5 years. So trust our hometown professional team. Trust Yellowhammer Roofing. Call today for your free assessment at 855-217-8887 or go online at yellowhammerroofing.com.
We bring it to you each and every day at this time. It is our bad box score of the day.
You're out! I'm out!
Look at that. He almost broke his back swinging at that thing.
Got him. We're going to start off with AAA Minor League Baseball. The El Paso...
Armadillos.
No.
El Paso Cowboys.
Chihuahuas.
Ooh.
Knocked off the Las Vegas. Now, see, I would have gotten this wrong. I thought I knew this before, but I believe it's changed.
The Las Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
They are the, it's a number, isn't it?
Was.
Oh, then I have no clue then.
They were the 51s.
50, yeah, right. I was about to say.
That's what my guess would have been that, but apparently now they're the Las Vegas Aviators.
Aviators?
Yeah. Okay. 23-30 on the year. So not flying.
Are they
high.
Are they like the sunglasses or the guys that fly planes?
Their logo looks like a guy who's snow skiing with like the goggles, but I think okay. It's more of a pilot supposed to be.
Now, gotcha.
I think the way that they have it created could maybe lean towards still being someone who flies a unidentified flying object or okay. Maybe not. I don't know. But the Chihuahuas knocked off the Aviators 20-5 yesterday. 23 hits for the Chihuahuas to bring in those 20 runs. They had a lot of success at the plate. John Iglesias, second baseman for the Chihuahuas, was 5 of 7 with 8 RBI yesterday. He hit 3 home runs in the game.
So he's locked in.
He was ready to go. There was not an issue there. The problem, though, was not only the fact, really, for the Aviators was on the mound. They had 12 hits, only could get 5 runs in. But Olier came out. He's 1-2 on the year. He goes 2 2/3, gave up 7 runs on 7 hits. All 7 of those were earned. That's a 7.02 ERA for the game. But Nick Ruiz would come in next, go 1 1/3 inning. He gave up 2 runs on 2 hits. And John Sullivan would come in after that, go 2/3 of an inning. He gave up 6 runs on 3 hits. All 6 of those were earned. So it wasn't a great day on the mound for the Aviators. But the Chihuahuas moved to 25-28 on the season. Both those teams sub-500 in AAA play. Now we'll take you to the National Junior College Division I World Series elimination game from yesterday.
Let's go.
That featured the Blinn College.
Oh, Cam played.
They're not the Cam Newtons.
Yes. I honestly couldn't even.
I should know this.
I,
Cowboys.
No.
The Raiders?
Buccaneers.
Mm.
If you stick with what I've tried to teach you guys,
that is,
you
know,
at least be close.
See what happens.
They're 46-13 on the year. They knocked off, and I don't know why more people don't have this, the Gaston College
Gauchos.
No.
I was going to say Gauchos. They are the
Gorillas.
Can't be that. Dang. They are the...
They are not phonetically correct.
Okay, well, they're the Pirates then.
Bulldogs.
They're the Rhinos.
Mm.
Okay.
I like the Rhinos.
Problem is, Rhinos lost 15-0 in five innings yesterday.
Not good.
It's quick work.
It was not great. There were 12 hits in 27 at-bats that brought in 15 runs for the Buccaneers. Only one home run, by the way, that brought in those 15 runs. Just three hits in 16 at-bats for the Rhinos. Now, Gaston College finishes the season 50-13 on the year, 17-6 in conference. They were 32-1 at home, but they couldn't get past this one, mainly because Kyle McKernan got the start on the mound. He went 1 2/3 innings, gave up 6 runs on 5 hits. 5 of those were earned. He walked 4, gave up a home run. It wouldn't get much better as Hunter Shaw came in, did not record an out, gave up 3 runs on 3 hits. All 3 of those were earned, one being a home run. And then Evan Lewis came in, also did not go an inning as far as not recording an out. 4 runs on 2 hits, all 4 earned. So 7 pitchers would throw in this game, and their season would end. So the Rhinos are done there at Gaston College. 50-12, they'll finish the season. The Blinn Buccaneers will take on Waterford today at 3 p.m. in the semifinals of the NJCAA D1WS.
There we go.
That got that going for you today. So there you are with your bad box scores, plural.
I think we're going to have a few more of those.
Is there anything better than minor league baseball mascots?
They're pretty good.
It's pretty tough.
I mean, I'll give you a lot of credit for that
one. A lot of good ones. Okay.
They are solid.
A couple of things that we've had people talk about today. Storming the field was one. Chris is still on the lines, wants to get his thoughts in. Chris, how do we stop field storming by fans?
How you guys doing this morning?
We're great. Thank you.
Well, if you want to be unpeaceful about it, the only way to actually crack down on misdeeds, you got to have harsh punishment. So, bad enough. I mean, the only way to take it away is you got to take the game away to storm away. I mean, it does. Sure, it might not change in retrospect the fact or even result, but I mean, if you want to actually have repercussions and stuff, you got to have harsh punishments. And or even tell the coach to be like Nick Saban time where the fans would always leave the stadiums early. Had a coach them up to coach same standard, they have the players. That's the last thing about it. What you guys think?
I think harsh punishment probably way to go for the school. It's the only way to do it. Appreciate the call, Chris.
No problem.
G-Mac, the main theme that I got from these ADs and coaches yesterday.
Yeah.
When talking about 8 or 9 conference games in the SEC, there were a lot of different directions, a lot of different thoughts. Some for it, some against it, and then the reasons for and against it very different for some of these ADs, presidents, and coaches. But I keep hearing a lot of folks bring up college football playoff and not knowing the exact criteria or what's going to lie there. Let's be really real for one moment. If you're on the brink of making the college football playoff, how much is an 8 or a 9 game conference schedule going to impact that?
Hey, it's a really difficult question.
As opposed to if you're a coach trying to keep your job by being above 500, being bowl eligible, not having a losing record, how much does that impact you there? Because I think the latter is impacted in a much greater way than are we going to get to the playoff or not. And I know we don't know the criteria, but we got a lot of people crying about we can't go to 9 because of the playoff and we don't know what the playoff's going to say and strength of schedule, this, that, and the other. Let's be real. If you're a playoff team, playing one extra conference game is not going to impact that greatly, in my opinion. Maybe you disagree. But I think the folks who are trying to keep their jobs, ADs, head coaches, trying to get bonuses, trying to stay above 500, trying to go to bowl games. 8 games going to help you a hell of a lot more than it is going to prevent those teams from playing one extra game going to the college football playoff.
You can say
it's the playoff, but I ain't buying it.
I'm kind of with you. I would love to be naive enough to think that it's exclusively about the playoff, but there's a lot of teams in the SEC that will not be in playoff contention. And everyone's like, all anyone cares about is national championships. No, they don't. That's not true. Most people just want to beat their rival and win as many games as humanly possible, but there are very few teams that are thinking about the national championship on an annual basis. There might be 20 teams that really believe that they can get there. The others are just trying to make money and provide a quality product and provide some entertainment for their fans. And the games that move the needle are the games that are rivalry games. Like Vandy has no aspirations of a national championship, but they'd love to beat Tennessee. They'd love to have a chance at them every year. Now, I think that those are things that should be protected as opposed to talking about the playoff and talking about getting to bowl eligibility. But I'm 100% with you. Beating a team to get to 8-4 is going to be better than losing to a team in your conference and finishing 7-5. No denying that.
Great stuff today from Nick Kelly, who is in Destin covering the SEC spring meetings. Mark Etheridge of D1 Baseball, Wimp Sanderson, the coach, always entertaining, and Sanford head baseball coach Tony David. Really good stuff. If you missed any, the podcast is going to be up there. And all you guys who do listen initially on the podcast, we appreciate that. JocksFM.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get yours. Coming up tomorrow, going to continue to recap the SEC spring meetings. As we said, we expect even more to come out today. NCAA softball, Women's College World Series today. Baseball regionals tomorrow. We're back 7 to 10. Three-man front is next.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.